mic.
But I'm going to try to go too tomorrow.
Okay, you're on.
You're on.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order. Committee on Generational, Cultural, and Ethnic Diversity. And before, can somebody look at the minutes for March 23rd?
I think they're beautiful, Madam Chair.
I'll make a motion, we approve them.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, so be it. Now, we have today Marlene Furtick, Westchester County Youth Bureau Director. She's going to give us an update.
Who?
Who? Of the current youth programs. And the last budget meeting we had, I don't know, the girl was fine, but some of the questions she wasn't sure of. Right, Vito? You
were
there.
Yeah, we had to get the backup
so information. We need to get some of the facts, because I was on vacation, and that really should have been in my meeting first, but it never did get to mine, my committee.
Yeah, and that was Mary Kay Campbell, who is my contract person, who works hand in hand with my right hand, quite frankly, along with Tom, our senior accountant, who we work together to look at the funding. What I thought would be of interest to you today is to give you the 2010 IIK funding stream. So you would have here the programs that are funded this year, and let me just get this out.
Good map.
To you. It's a one-pager, and I thought maybe it would be helpful if we could discuss that, and then some of the other activities that we are involved in this year. Do we have enough? At that meeting, I had a meeting with DSS. As you may know, DSS has proposed cuts to the COPS-funded programs, Community Optional Preventive Services. That's what COPS stands for. What you see before you is county tax levy money, Invest in Kids. And these are programs who submitted a proposal in 2008 for 3 years, which these programs started in 2009, 10, and they'll be finished in 11. So the spring of 2011, we will issue another request for a proposal so that the not-for-profits, God willing, if they're still Invest in Kids funding, that we would then open it up to everybody all over again, new players, hopefully, but still some of our tried and true established not-for-profits would continue their programs. But I think if you take a look at this, and, you know, as I've said before, it is not easy doing business with county government, because there has to be a lot of checks and balances. We provide, my staff and I provide a lot of technical assistance, but even with that, I think sometimes some of our newer funded agencies don't realize the amount of paperwork, amount of reporting, and it's not easy when people don't have, let's say, a financial officer. So therefore, they can get into trouble because they think they can charge back to us things that they really can't. We bring them in at the beginning of their contract to say, this you can be reimbursed for. We give them a booklet. This you cannot be reimbursed for. But I think people have the best intentions. I'm not saying they're trying to pull shoddy reporting, but they just don't realize the importance of fiscal responsibility. Some of our newer agencies, when we look at the Big Four, Family Service of Westchester, WJCS, which is Westchester Jewish Community Service, your Boys and Girls Club of Northern Westchester, no problem, they get it, they bring in their with Invest in Kids, they have to report to us quarterly, so therefore we see how they're spending. It's just that some of the other smaller agencies need help. But to that end, We've partnered with the Westchester Community Foundation, which has a grant to help smaller agencies become more fiscally responsible. And that's one of the things that it's a great collaboration with Catherine Marsh and her organization, because we have some people who are doing wonderful work with so few dollars. They have so many kids now on the waiting list or in their programs because mom and dad, there may be some folks unemployed, but they know they need their kids in a safe environment between the hours of 3 and 7. So we've been really working very hard with a lot of these agencies. I just received the annual reports. We're just compiling some data on the annual reports. And the majority, I would say at least 85% of the funded programs, whether they're in Investing Kids or the Office of Children and Family Service or COPS funding, have served more kids than they were contracted for. And that really is the good news.
Excuse me, I'm not criticizing. I am all for all of these children being occupied and preventive care for all of them so they don't get into trouble and everything else. I feel as dedicated to the children as I do to the seniors, and you know what I do. But mm-hmm. when I came back and Mr. Burton questioned somebody, I mean, I stood there, Maureen, your question was...
Was that an ostinato? That was legislation that Mr. Burton had put, was that, and I wasn't there, but I remember Mary Kate came back.
She came
and
back.
That was Office of Children and Family Service funding that you wanted to designate the Recreation Department. I'm not quite
no,
sure.
No, there was the difference
the
between
the question that came up was there were a couple of contracts let to the town of Austin, which doesn't have a recreation program. And that they, I assumed, would be in the village of Austin, but that was my question, is how come they went to the town, and how did that get straightened out?
Well, it got
straightened out. Okay, good. That was my concern.
It was a very minor, that was something that the Office of Children and Family Service, as you know, gives funding for youth services and administration costs. And that was something that was not directed to us when we got it from the state. They didn't know that there had been a change in terms of the recreation. So the name of the program went right to where it had always been set up. But the money was set aside, and I think Mary Kate reached out to somebody on your staff, your legislative aide, because I have the emails from that. I will send it back to you.
Well, it's just that I abolished the town of Grousing Recreation Department in 1992.
Right.
And it seemed like a little bit of a hangover.
But somebody in the town of Ossining never corrected that, because we had the forms going there.
That happens. I'm something of a neat freak, and I like to have these things go to the right place.
That was straightened out that afternoon.
Audits can be bad things if they turn out to be the wrong people. So
we were surprised that nobody corrected it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my concern was the neatness in reporting, not anything else.
Sure. I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you? Good morning. How are you?
Good
very
morning.
Good seeing you. Apologize
Thank
for the being late, and hopefully you didn't answer this question. On the COPS funding that DSS asked you all to modify, right? Do you have a list of those? Are those part of this list?
No. This is only Invest in Kids. Those COPS programs, as we speak, DSS was hoping to have that settled on Friday. Let me just back up and let everybody know what Congressman, I just elevated you, County Legislator Williams is referring to.
Jenkins.
We all
Jenkins.
Look like it's okay.
You can get away with that in this context.
It's just one of those days.
You said it.
I need that vacation. It's coming. I definitely need it, and I'm looking forward to going away for a few days. But anyway, let me just bring everybody up to speed. I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, our DSS commissioner said that we had to cut COPS-funded programs. The Youth Bureau has 8 of those programs. The reason why everybody loved that New York State pocket of money, really funding stream, was because there was no match from the agencies. But it came with a stipulation that the money was to be used to keep kids out of foster care, to help children who were aging out of foster care, and to keep children out of the juvenile justice system. So you had to really look at where would you get those programs that really fit that bill. And they had us do a Title 20, which is an income verification showing that the parents of these children had a 200% poverty level. So that was money that Westchester County has enjoyed for 8 years. And to the credit of our DSS commissioner, each year Westchester County was able to add more and more services from just that funding from New York State. In fact, it was said last year when we were told, everybody in New York State, that COPS was going to be abolished, that funding eliminated. Westchester County, with the wonderful advocacy work of many, was able to fight and send letters. They had more cards, letters, phone calls from Westchester County than any other county in New York State. So that was great. It showed advocacy at work. But that funding, they said Westchester County somehow sneaked up and got, I think, to the tune of $8 million, close to $8 million of funding. No other county had that. So obviously, we were told there were going to be cuts. However, in 2010, there were no cuts from the state concerning COPS. But our commissioner, Kevin Mann, was certainly in step with our newly elected county executive and said cuts have to be made. So we went back to the drawing board and we needed to make cuts. We, along with DCMH, Department of Community Mental Health, Probation, Youth Bureau, and Drug and Alcohol, which is also a part of DCMH, made the cuts. We were given a number as to how much we had to cut, $1.3 million, 28 programs. How do we divide that up and make these cuts? It was very painful because we know these programs are keeping kids out of care. What do I mean? Residential care. We're talking about kids with serious emotional problems, whose parents need respite, who need care. If these kids are going into crisis, psychiatric crisis, it will cost the counties somewhere upward of $180 a day. If we have wraparound services, and that's the key word that the state is using, that keep these kids in the community, but you've got to give them services. You've got to give them programs. Parents need help. Parenting classes, things to deal with these children who have some serious mental health issues. So that's one population. Then we have PINS, Persons in Need of Supervision, which is a probation programs that we had an interdepartmental with, meaning that we made sure these kids had group therapy, they were adjudicated youth. How do we keep them out of the court system so they don't reoffend? So these were the programs that all of us sitting around the table with DSS fought hard for. The cuts came about 2 weeks ago. It would be about 30% cuts to those programs. And it was devastating. And there was a pushback from the community. Having said that, DSS brought all of us in again last week. I believe it was last Tuesday, and sat around and said, look, we do have the funding for these programs. However, people, meaning the not-for-profit world, has to understand that the cuts are coming. And we said, understood, we know that. But 30%, when it looked like there was funding, at least for this year, the state wasn't asking for the cut. Why should we give such a tremendous cut in 2010, especially since people started in good faith in January. So after many meetings, bringing in our not-for-profits, talking with them, looking at who could sustain a cut, who could still keep the program going, then what was said, we got it down to about 10% cut. However, that's not official. I have not gotten the official word from the commissioner, but that is the last plan that we worked on, and we were able to restore those programs that we thought would experience a 30% cut. Because I brought each one of my program people in, I explained it, and believe you me, the not-for-profit world, we're all living in America. We see the economic conditions nationally, statewide, countywide, municipality-wide. So they know cuts are coming. We're just saying, please, these people who have worked so hard with some of our most vulnerable population in our large cities and countywide programs, can we not find a way to do a cut that does the least amount of damage for this year? And certainly, knowing that it's state money and knowing where the state is going, we may not have this money at all in 2011, but let's deal with it right now. So I have to say, this county, we work hard with each other. You know, we have meetings behind closed doors, and we work, and we found a way. So, but again, that's not my decision. That's Kevin Mann's decision. And I, before coming over, I tried to reach out to DSS to see. But yes, as late as yesterday afternoon at 4 p.m., I was told that the recommendation, it looks good, but it's not official from the commissioner.
So I'm following up on that, and thank you for the detailed explanation.
Very nice.
It was very good to have all this information on this particular on the programs. Can you send us a list of the programs? While you can't send us the dollar amounts, which would be fair,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
But can you just identify the programs for us? Because what we did when DSS came in, we did ask under the chairwoman. Chairwoman A. Williams, right, in the Community Services Committee to ask for the level of detail for that, because what they did when they presented the savings, the proposed recommendations in the savings plan, they just gave a line that said COPS funding, right? And we're like, no, we need to understand what that means, because again, position, just for like one member of the board, but you know, the position overall for many members is we're funded for 2010, and we're okay in 2010. And if the state has impact and makes modifications, we should adjust for that,
absolutely,
right? But the county should not be the one leading the parade on these particular items, especially given that there probably is going to be impact to these agencies, and we would not want them to have a double hit, right? Which
thank
is
you.
which we think is likely to happen,
yes,
if people, you know, accept or authorize this stuff now, which we're kind of pushing back harder. So I appreciate that information. It would be
thank
helpful.
You. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
I thank you also for the information and whatever comes up, and we like you say, be prepared, hopefully the 10% works, that it's accepted, but keep in mind there may not be a next year, and what are we going to do? Don't wait till next year.
Yeah.
We have to work on it
absolutely. And I think that's what last year taught us, that you really have to prepare. You know, you hope for the best,
right,
but you prepare for the worst. And how can we collaboratively work to make sure that the residents of Westchester County with all of these programs are covered, you know. So it has been a strenuous couple of weeks, and that's why I am in need of that vacation. But
can you also send us in your documentation, when you send it over, can you send us just kind of a breakout, I guess, for the number of people that are served in those programs,
mm-hmm,
where they were expected to serve and what they actually serve,
mm-hmm,
and the average pass course, because one of the
average what?
the average
cost per child?
Right, because what happens is, as you mentioned, that you know, if we do a certain kind of service, it's going to cost us $180 a day, right? So if someone goes down a specific path, right, and 180 days is cheap because if they end up in jail, it's $300
that's
a day,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's always helpful for us as the investment board here to look and say that says, mm-hmm. wait a minute, we spent $30 a day in a program
right.
to avoid spending 180 or 300, right? So that's money well spent, mm-hmm. right? So as opposed to be penny wise and pound foolish. Right, that's an argument that we get to make. Right?
Yes.
You can. It's like when we had that big meeting with May Carpenter up in there, and I kept on saying to them, put more money in ICEP, okay?
That's right.
Put more money. You save money by putting it in ICEP and getting people home care instead of putting them in nursing homes
that's
where
right.
they're not even taken care of properly
that's
and all
right.
that. And you're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like talking to deaf
cool.
ears. They don't want it. You're showing them how it could be cheaper. We are in a hole, and we want to, they don't listen, okay? It's the same thing here.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference is that when we're talking to people like the ICEP, we're talking to some other legislators at different levels,
mm-hmm.
right? In this case, you're talking to us, and we've already established that we're willing to make that level of investment for the people of Westchester,
yeah.
because it just makes more sense to do,
yeah.
right? It's not as you can say we can eliminate it and not do it, right? But at what cost?
At what
right?
cost?
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Can I just say I don't know. I just want to mental health. A lot of these kids, like you said, have problems. Okay, mental problems from their home, from their upbringing, and everything else. Is mental health any of the money from mental health come in to help these people or no?
Yes. Now, I'm talking about programs that we
sponsor
and can sometimes co-sponsor with mental health. But Grant Mitchell and what they do in mental health, tremendous, tremendous work. But if you look at Invest in Kids, just to give you an understanding of some mental health issues, we have FSW Respite. That is the program that children who are seriously emotionally disturbed, but yet these children, socially, no other program wants them. And this was one of my fights in that you can't send them to a regular after-school program. You
mm-hmm.
need people who are trained
to
work
with
these children. Some of them have a dual diagnosis in terms of bipolar problems, schizophrenia. Some of them, even with their diagnosis, says, I want to go to college. It may take me 7 years. But working with a mental health counselor, we've had some terrific success stories.
Yeah.
We have Camp Success, which is a camp, it's almost a one-on-one counselor because these kids need that kind of help. And I think one of the things we try to get across is that these are our kids. We have kids all across the spectrum. Kids are doing fantastic work in the youth council. We just finished last week a youth convention that I have attended youth conventions, I guess, for the last, 6 years or so. This youth council was the best ever. The representation of young people from all over this county who came with their teachers, guidance counselors, to say, we believe in what you're doing. Giving kids leadership roles, they planned the whole thing. We had a 9-year-old child recite a Dalai Lama's speech about peace and understanding, about understanding our cultural differences. You can't tell me there's not value in having kids who come together from Northern County, Southern County, East, West, come together to plan a convention about their issues to share with us adults who are trying to keep funding and programs available to them. But they take on issues. They take on advocacy issues. They speak before your budget committee each year about the programs that affect their lives. But they also talk about teen dating violence. They talk about self-injury. They talk about suicide when kids are depressed. That's a sleeping giant, the number of young people who have depression in this country. It's unbelievable. They also talk about bullying. They talk about cyberbullying, texting, how mean kids can be when they target one kid. So, I mean, these are issues that I sit in a desk behind a computer. You know, the higher up you get, I don't even see teens unless I make a real effort to monitor a program or to go out with my monitors, because we can be out of touch, we adults. So that youth convention really speaks to the issues that concern teens. So that's one of the things. But you asked about mental health issues. The other program that I wanted to talk about in terms of mental health is under WJCS. And that is the program that's called Family Matters and Juvenile Fire Centers. Family Matters, and under MHA, alphabetically MHA, Strengthening Families, we know in youth development you can't just treat the child that's in front of you, because you can treat the child, but that child is going to go right back to the home. What if the home is dysfunctional? What if the home, the parents, whatever, have issues mentally or have drug addiction issues? Or just, you know, sometimes parents just don't have the parenting skills they need to make sure that a young person grows up in a healthy environment. So these programs not only treat the child, but they support the child with getting their parents involved. And I can tell you that's one of the hardest things we do, is getting parents involved in their children's lives, whether it's through student advocacy, where these parents need help in advocating for their child in terms of special education. This is a program that actually goes with the parent when there's an individualized educational plan. If there's a committee for the school, you have all of these professionals, and the parent can feel very intimidated about advocating for their child's needs. So what does that program do? It makes sure that the parent has an ally, that the parent goes, has someone to go with them to explain New York State education law. And it's one of the most important programs that we fund. But anyway, I can go on and on. But, you know, that, I hope, answered the mental health.
I don't know if, I'm sorry, you know, I'll get, in today's paper, okay, the people that are adopting Chinese kids.
Yes.
Did you read this story
I
in today's
did this
paper?
Morning. And with special needs.
Yeah, because they can't get normal adoptions, so they're now taking children with special needs, and they're going to need help also. I mean, you know, they take them out, whether it's cleft palate. The one in the paper had an arm that she couldn't use. Yeah, it was very interesting,
Very.
And it's going to add to the population.
Yeah. Very true.
Can I just ask why they're highlighted and what is about the unallocated?
Okay.
Looks like good money there.
Yes, that
well,
we
you
did
got
not
my
allocate.
Question.
You
she took your
all,
question.
Let me take the...
I was just going to ask that question. Five highlighted and what, how did we get unallocated
okay.
funds?
The one
and what do we do
in,
for an order?
Yellow. Let's take the first one. El Centro Hispano.
Yeah.
Okay.
They, as you know, with Invest in Kids funding, the agency must have a match.
And they don't have
you that. Must come up. You, the agency, must come up with a match. So on $50,000, the agency must come up with $26,923. Mm-hmm. We are working with El Centro. As of right now, they do not have their match.
Okay.
They have had, I just want to say, they do an extraordinary job here in White Plains. They have the only bilingual Girl Scout and Boy Scout troop. They do a lot of gang prevention with parents and young people who have joined gangs. And I believe in the program, and we're trying to give them time to come up with their match. The fund for the City of New York, the Educational Advocate, the program that I was just telling you about, this is a program in Judge Davidson's courtroom. She, as you know, is the supervising judge for family court. Mm-hmm. Many of the children who come before her are neglect cases, educational neglect, it can be abuse, it can be a variety of problems. Parents, again, can have trouble with the law, they could be have mental illness, drug abuse, whatever. This program, the Educational Advocate, used to be funded for the last 3 years by MHA, Mental Health Agency, here in Westchester County. However, they have experienced a lot of difficulty financially. A lot of grants that they had did not come through. And they were not able to give this program the attention it deserved. And they gave it back to us. I think we got the notice from Dr. Cohn probably late October of last year. It was such an important program. We met with the judges of the Ninth Judicial Court and their court administrators. They found the court administrators to fund this program. And that program, that name of that agency is the Fund for the City of New York. But they are up in Westchester County, Putnam County, the Ninth Judicial Court, I think all the way up to Ulster. They did not have a match. We thought it was important enough to have this program funded. They are paying the two educational advocates who sit in the White Plains Family Court and the Yonkers Family Court. They pay their pension. They pay their health benefits. This was a program that was only $60,000 last year, but they stepped up and paid so much of the actual part of this program that we forgave the match on that. In green, you will notice Guidance Center, Many Paths, terrific program. It's in Mount Vernon High School. They get first-time college students, or I should say first in the family. They work with the students. As you know, Mount Vernon High School, each guidance counselor at Mount Vernon High School has over 400 students. They can't possibly do the work that they need to do, and they'll be the first to say it. They don't take kids on college tours anymore, but the Guidance Center does. They had $50,000, that was in their contract, but they had a lot of fiscal problems and did not spend down their money. And they know that going in, if you don't spend down, then we take
your own, yeah.
We take part of the funding away. That's one of the programs. Same thing with Port Chester Risk Prevention. They didn't spend down their money, so there was a little bit of a $5,000. That was $65,000 before, and now and now it's $60,000 in going in 2010. Same thing with NAFI. This is North American Family Institute. This is a youth and police leadership initiative. It started first in White Plains with the White Plains Youth Bureau. I think they presented here. That's right.
They did.
Step Up Program.
Yeah.
Right. This is just one component of the Step Up Program. It became such a positive component. They are in Yonkers. We do not fund the program working with the Yonkers police, but NAFI is in Yonkers. They're in Mount Vernon with the Mount Vernon Youth Bureau. And this particular one was Port Chester. Mayor Dennis Pillar asked, after he came to our gang prevention meetings, he said, could we not have this program in Port Chester? We worked with the gentleman, Dr. Jim Eisenberg, to work with the mayor in Port Chester, and they wrote a grant in 2008 to be a part of the IIK funding stream. As you may remember, Port Chester does not have a youth bureau. They haven't had one for about 5 years. And therefore, we as a county didn't have a presence in Port Chester, and we thought that was an excellent idea for them to partner with the city, and they happened to write a great grant, so they were funded. The unallocated in pink.
Yeah, $141,000. Is that available?
County legislators gave us, if you remember last year, you put in $200,000, an additional $200,000. Knowing what this year was going to be, we did not allocate all of that funding.
It's kind of like a reserve fund.
We held it back until such time we would know if it was going to be a, you know, a real savings. There is discussions right now with our newly elected county exec that all of these programs you see will take a 10% cut. What we showed in our discussions is if you just take the unallocated money, that's a 6% cut right there. At the end of, well, I should say at the beginning of the fourth quarter, we said to the ninth floor, We can show you over the past 5 years that we have about another $100,000 that people do not spend. They give back, maybe because staffing changes has happened. Some people have stopped a program for a month and a half, so there's a savings. By the fourth quarter, we can see who has spent down and who has not, how much is going to be left on the books. We, because we go out and provide technical assistance, we always try to make sure of $2 million that we've had to give back $100,000 isn't so bad. And this year, we had said to the ninth floor, can you take the 6% of the unallocated funds and see how much we're going to have in September. So when we close this year, if we can show you that we usually give back anywhere from 100 to 150,000, which is less than 2%, would that be something that they would consider? So those are the discussions with the ninth floor.
That's how the fund balance gets built, is this money that falls to the bottom. So by treating it as something you can take back during the process of the year, it's essentially a form of double counting. From the budgeting point of view, not from your point of view, but from the budgeting point of view, if the goal of the administration this year, which I think is a worthy one, is to try to increase the fund balance, it's fooling itself by asserting that we're going to do these mid-year cuts, and then when it shows up in the bottom line, they'll say, see, we did it. No, you've already counted it. You can't double count. So I can see the pressure you're under for this reason, but it strikes me that the pushback has got to be, we always did this anyway. Why would you take it away now?
That's not what he's trying to accomplish. Right. He's trying to accomplish a 10% cut of money we've allocated. We always come in with a fund balance on groups that don't draw down all of their income. That's a separate pot. The fund balance should be there as a savings. But what he's dictating is that it's not just to invest in kids, it's to all our contract agencies. I want you to you're not going to get 10% of what we've contracted for. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not right, because we've contracted, and unless you can go and show me we made a bad decision in providing funds, not just for kids, but for domestic violence, for child care, and everything else, and saying you're going to just withhold 10%. That's what he wants to do. That's an addition to.
Then I must have missed it. Are you saying that the contract
agency...
She's saying instead of
taking 10% from all of these contracts and saving it, we have a fund balance. Would he consider that?
The fund balance is what I'm saying is being double counted. Are you saying, though, that the administration is proposing to cut the IIK column by 10%?
That's the discussion we're having across, right, now.
So that the result is 10%, whether it's cut everybody individually cut 10 or... Yeah. All right. So I think I was double counting myself, creative, and showing them,
you know, from our standpoint, that there is a savings. But I understand what you're saying. And our point is, and I can show you the numbers, that these programs are contracted, some are... to serve, let's say, 50 kids.
Yeah, but that's I think what we're going to have to get at.
They serve 60 kids. And they're almost being punished
for being efficient.
For being efficient, serving populations that need them.
But Marlene, if I may.
Yes, you may.
The question has always been when we audit, that we sometimes don't get full reports here on the board. We dole out a lot of money. We've asked Child Care Council to come in when it came scholarship time. They came in regularly. They reported. They gave us facts and figures. They showed us how many scholarships were being used, how many got increased. What the questions have been, and it's not just with this, you know, the child care and domestic violence programs and everything else. With the Investing Kids, over the years, we've had a hard time with colleagues saying, these are good programs, because we don't have the proof of the pudding. We haven't shown some programs in different communities to say, these are some of the areas in which we've worked. These are the kids' backgrounds that we've gotten. These are the kids. I know that years ago, East Chester had programs, but they no longer get any money because some of the kids who are quote-unquote eligible, they haven't done programming for.
But we didn't get... proposals, you know.
No, I understand that because they felt they weren't eligible. That's the problem.
But it's getting back to kids, eligible to anybody. It's not an income-based.
I understand that. Okay. Groups out there feel they're not eligible. That's why they don't go out and seek funding. This year you had Daughters of Destiny, Family Ties of East Chester. I believe that comes through the CAP program, if I'm not mistaken.
Daughters of Destiny. Yeah. Where does that come from? They're headquartered right here in White Plains, but they have several satellite offices. Are they not in the CAP?
They don't go down with Charlene to do Daughters of Destiny?
I don't believe so. They are in Mount Vernon and in Peekskill, and they are in Yonkers.
Okay, so this is one that, like Bill had the question before, Family Ties of East Chester. Is this another agency?
Family Ties. I've been in East Chester all my life.
And this is the first I'm reading about Family Ties of East Chester. Now, I could be wrong. I could be left out of the loop.
I don't know Family Ties of East Chester.
Yeah.
Is that the one in the Post Road family?
No, they closed down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, the Family Center up, that was across from, yeah, that was Family Counseling Center.
Okay, but
they've closed down and They've completely gone to
fall. Family Ties of East Chester.
Yes, where it says Daughters of Destiny.
Yeah, it's on the list. Yeah.
It's on your list.
Family Ties was on my list.
Of East Chester.
And when I heard you talk about White Plains and everything, I'm sitting there saying, I don't know if this is part of a group that, you know, that they're working with through Charlene Lambrecht, where they have the girls, the young ladies doing programs and stuff in part of their CAP program, because they do entrepreneurship. They do everything, and you know I've been trying to make sure that they put in.
All right,
they put in most of their grants for kids through Westcop.
Right, but I know their headquarters
is White Plains,
White Plains. Yeah. And the programs that I'm familiar with, and they have family resources centers where they do parenting classes and all of that. Yeah. But the Daughters of Destiny is in Mount Vernon, Yonkers, and Peekskill. But let me check.
They may be reaching out to some of the kids in East Chester, down in Tuckahoe specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll check on
that. And what I was also going to ask is when you start looking at things, it says youth ed edutainment services, mm-hmm. yes, WestCop. Mm-hmm. Is it education and tainment, or should it be entertainment?
No. They coined this name, edutainment. And I've had problems with, making sure that young people know the English language, mm-hmm. and this is a derivative of combining. But it's a wonderful program that works at A.B. Davis Middle School in Mount Vernon, and that's the hook. It's education and entertainment. They do slam poetry, they do reading, language art skills and things of that sort.
I know they're trying to save letters on headlines, but could you ask them if they would consider changing that?
I have, and they're not.
Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe we should tell WestCop and Odeen and Winston.
We're not going to give
them funding because it's confusing.
I can assure you that I brought that up. Okay,
I'm being picky, I guess.
I can say you are, and you're not.
When somebody sees something, they think you misspelled it, like
right.
I did right away. But I had the sense to say it's education and entertainment. But, somebody else looking out there would say, what are we trying to do? We're either doing an education/entertainment program, but let's not make up our own little acronyms of edutainment,
Through the chair.
Yes.
I apologize.
I'm sorry, are you finished?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Just a question, and I've heard what you said earlier about reporting and the requirements and all of that, and I'm new at this, obviously, so I need some clarification, because one of the things I heard when DSS presented was about only certain kinds of evaluation. Is there a standard evaluation form that you use, that DSS uses? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it's not the Marlene Furtick evaluation form. We in the County Youth Bureau follow the Office of Children and Family Service evaluation form. So we don't get crazy, because don't forget we have 5 funding sources. We make sure that everybody follows the same New York State standard of the Office of Children and Family Service. So we have a monthly statistical form. We want to know how many children are you serving, how many children dropped out of the program. Then we have a quarterly form that we have on our website where they can fill out the form, which is more of a narrative as to what was accomplished. As you remember, every contract has at least 3 performance measures. They can't get money from us unless they show us what did they accomplish. So that evaluation form, that narrative mm-hmm. form, which is a quarterly form, has that information. It also has on there a question: what were some of the obstacles that you encountered in this quarter? It will ask, what technical assistance do you need from the Youth Bureau staff in order to ensure that you are in compliance? So those are the quarterly forms. Then in November, we let people know you will be asked to do an annual report. So the annual report is due February of the new year. Then, because the previous administration had us trained in PBUs, and I don't know how familiar you all were with that, that was a county evaluation form. And that form really, I'm just going to say it, appeared to be a little punitive. It was so hard to train the not-for-profits on that. We'd have them come in. It was something that it was designed for them to do on their computers, back at their agency. It really was just very difficult. Let me just put it that way. However, we took the best of that and had our own IT department design a report card. And I'll be happy to send you know, all of this to you so you can see what it looks like in terms of how we get the information, how we know somebody is in compliance with what they said they were going to do in their contract. And that's all of our evaluation tools that we use. And then I should say also, my staff goes out and does two site visits a year. They have their own site visit reporting instrument where we want to see the records. You say you're reporting on these number of kids. Let us see their attendance folders. We want to be able to talk to the young people. What did this program do for you? How often do you come to the program? My board does site visits, and both these ladies, Liz Mark and Ann Spindell, were members of the County Youth Board and were co-chairs of the County Board at one time. And they can tell you, they also, and it's always good to have a fresh pair of eyes. You know, people who may not be as familiar as my staff is with the programs and the procedures, and they would write up the reports. So we have a monitoring on a couple
and
of levels.
And also would meet with the program administrators.
Yes.
So it wasn't just writing the reports and reviewing
but
them and
giving
information
with our staff.
Back,
mm-hmm.
Meet mm-hmm. with the program mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. So.
And then, Marlene, and then if at the end of a year, let's say you get three or four or five or more requests and the money's...
It's already allocated.
Allocated, no. But you could judge from these whether it's worth it mm-hmm. to
oh,
repeat
yes.
it or
yes.
you want to bring in somebody
absolutely.
New that you'll get more
wow.
out of.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
We have defunded programs.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not something we do lightly because we... because of that quarterly report, we see what's the trouble? Why haven't they served? Sometimes in the not-for-profit world, as you know, there are good people. They'll hear about an opportunity. They'll be at one agency for a couple of months. They jump to another agency because the money looks better or the benefits are better. So sometimes you'll have an inconsistency in your staffing, and that can create a problem in spending down your money. So long as we can hear the excuse or find out what's happening, you know, we work with people. We try to make sure that if we do have to defund, I mean, we caught one program which will remain anonymous, but it was a program that we gave them chance after chance to get started. They didn't. We gave them all kinds of aid, the technical assistance. And finally, we had to bring in the executive director of the program, and I sat with them and my program administrator, and we had to say, look, these are the facts. We know the kids need this program, and yet we weren't able to get it started. So then we had to defund.
Okay, thank you. Vito?
No, I just said the last thing. Yeah, I guess take it probation and student assistance don't have to have matching grants. Because they
right.
have four,
it's an interdepartmental.
And it's just interdepartmental
right.
transfers.
Thank you for getting me back on track. Interdepartmentals, yeah. we don't do. That's a group. The Boys Pins group is in Yonkers, and the Girls Pins group is in Yonkers and in Mount Vernon, and it's only $4,000 for the girls.
Yeah.
Because probation puts in money, DSS puts in money.
Yeah.
So we're able to, quite frankly, you know, I always say to these programs, if you're going to have young people after school, they eat. You're going to have to provide a healthy snack. And that $4,000 provides the journals, they're bigger than this, but notebooks for the kids to write down some thoughts, some feelings. It's group therapy. DSS pays for the therapist. We pay for the snacks, we pay for the journals, the supplies. We try to take them to one cultural activity a year. So that's what
just that and the final thing is when we talked about, you know, many paths at Mount Vernon and we said, you know, that's used to take kids to colleges and visits and stuff that they would never have an opportunity to. There are many programs in available to kids, and I believe each school, even the private parochial schools, participate. The College Conference and Fair, the mm-hmm. Black Schools Conference and Fair, the visits by over 300, you know, college representatives and HEOP and Pell Grant financial mm-hmm. form of programs. And
that's what they do, is provide the child, the parent, with these options.
Okay.
The biggest piece in Westchester County sometimes is transportation. Mm-hmm. If there's a college fair at Westchester County Center,
right.
the schools no longer have funding for buses.
Some do, some don't.
Yes,
that's
but
problem.
A lot more. As,
that's why
I
we have
what
it.
I'm talking about is
try to
the
give
guidance
them help
center.
By giving it at the county center, because
yeah.
it's centrally
yeah.
located,
yeah.
and there are pretty much bus systems
buses
from the inner cities that don't provide the transportation anymore.
Right.
That's
and, you
the
know,
sad part
last year, Mount Vernon was on an austerity budget.
Yeah.
They said they didn't have the bus money, so many paths said, look, let's see if we can use some of that guidance center money for transportation. But they were in the Journal News as being the most successful in getting first-time college students in families. And let me say that the Mount Vernon Youth Bureau has a career center
in right
Mount
in the school.
Do you
yeah.
remember
yeah, sure.
Shirley Jackson?
Yes.
Mrs. Shirley Jackson?
Yeah.
She's been there for 22 years.
Yeah.
But when you have a high school population of
2,000, it's tough to deal with.
It's tough to see everybody. And that's
yeah.
even with the guidance counselors trying to do a great
and that's
job.
Going to be the first cuts in education.
That's
ancillary.
Right.
And also, the Westchester Community Foundation supports a college prep.
That's
supports
right.
the Guidance Center,
that's
who
right.
runs a,
mm-hmm.
a college prep tutoring program
mm-hmm.
at Mount Vernon High School as well. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say something, Alfreda, which is important in terms of the evaluation
yes.
and the fact that the Youth Bureau has tried very hard to make it as easy as possible, because many of the programs that are supported are truly understaffed, so that the director mm-hmm. has to do everything, and that mm-hmm. by being able to do monthly statistical reports online, it at least reduces
the burden
of
yeah.
long,
yeah.
laborious
yeah.
reports. And not everybody yeah. likes to do evaluations because they are time-consuming.
I know.
I
was going to say, nobody likes to do evaluations.
Yeah. No,
the reason,
but I'm saying they've tried, Marlene's
yeah.
office has tried very hard to make it
oh,
as
simple,
as user-friendly
yeah.
as possible.
I just wanted to, the reason I was asking was not as a criticism in
no,
any
no,
way.
No.
It was just for informational yes. purposes, because you know my committee, Community Services, had DSS here a couple of weeks ago, and it came out later on that perhaps they're not doing as much program evaluation as necessary
yep.
to know what exactly what the various components of the program are and how successful these components are. And I wanted
yeah.
to know
right.
what you were doing.
And certainly, you know, I can only talk about my department and the standards that we have, but I think that's a point well taken. The last thing I want to leave you with is, and I am so glad our newly elected county exec had told me to go forward with the Westchester Scholars Program. This program, I really
Thank
can't
you.
Say enough about. Just a short background for Williams. That 1999.
You gotta change the county exec's name on the top if he's going to give you permission
oh,
to do it.
Yes. Well, this is an old one. I just brought this because this was last year, and we're gearing up for this year. Each year we take a new topic, and the topic over the years, the teams interview one another and members of their family about their perception of the use of technology tools. In this report, our young reporters interviewed Marguerite Byrne, who is our IT commissioner. Mm-hmm. And it was just fascinating because the young people wanted to know when did people start to record information? And as you can see here, in 1455, with the invention of the press and how engravings were done, how the Bible was done, all the way up to the very first computer in 1960, I think. So we try to, with the Westchester Scholars, as you know, they get free computers. 2 years ago, we gave them laptops instead of the desktop computer. They get 1 week at a computer camp. Iona College is a partner with us. WCC, Westchester Community College. Also, Monroe College in New Rochelle. And the EEOC in Yonkers with Renee Guy, because she has a technology lab. On that 1 week of computer camp, they're actually learning about their computer, how best to use it, how they can make their reports better in school for the school year, and then they get, if they need it, 1 year of free internet access. And our partner is DSS from day one. We did have the Pope Foundation in previous years. We no longer have the Pope Foundation. So it's only for TANF families. Those families, we get the list from DSS every February, and we're in the process now of going through those applications so that we can award at least, have at least 60 to 70 young people in our new Westchester Scholars list. Last year, the teacher that was hired, and this is a real collaboration with the Westchester Library System. They paid for the teacher to teach our young people, our Westchester Scholars. It's an application process. It was only opened up. We were hoping to have 10 scholars to work on that project. He was a New York Times reporter. He works, his particular field is technology. This year we'll be doing something else with a noted writer. In previous years we've had Jill Nelson, a noted Pulitzer Prize winner, who teaches writing, I think City College. So over the years we've tried to expose young people to different writers and communicators, and so I just had the first conversation with Robin Osborne of the Westchester Library System as to what are we going to do this year. So that's one track. The last 4 years we've had a track of ambassadors. They're called Westchester Scholars Ambassadors. We employ kids in every library in Westchester County to help the librarians in the summertime with reading programs, with arts and crafts, and they are trained by the Westchester Library System. We pay them. It's, again, a collaboration. Westchester Library System pays our kids. We have funding from DSS to pay our kids to have a meaningful employment experience with libraries. So okay. That's basically it.
All right. If anybody has...
No, thank you.
I just want to thank you, Marlene, but what I would like very much is when you get your information about the 10%, you know, budget.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you want. I mean, I have education on the fourth Tuesday around 10:30. So anytime you'd like us to get together and you want to give us information or things.
So you're saying an education committee?
Yeah, this is education. The third is senior citizens, and the first and second is ethnic diversity, Hispanic, Black, women. Whatever anybody wants to discuss, just let me know.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I really appreciate it. We are learning about, you know, the budget's going to come up soon, before you know it. And summer programs are going to come up soon. Money is, yeah. I mean, we would like to be aware of what's going on. Okay.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, may I have a...
A motion adjourned?
Second.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aye. I said aye four times. So
stay here.
I'll get the answers to the questions that you want. Yeah.
Right, thank you. I want it. Okay. Well, when we finish this, I wanted to talk to you a minute. And you. I need Ken, too, because these are all people that, you know. I just wanted to tell you that.
Wait.
Okay.
Where did Mia go?
I don't know.